This morning, we're going to be going to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 21, please, in your Bibles. Luke chapter 21, we're going to start with verses 1 through 4. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Luke 21. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, we want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here in this building you set aside to come in and to learn about you and your ways. Once again, Father, I pray that you will take your place and authority over us, that you will, by your Holy Spirit, bring us in the truth of your word. Lord, empower me by your Holy Spirit to speak your word, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that you will open up the hearts of the hearers and the ears, Lord, as your word is spoken this morning, that you will draw them unto yourself. Show them exactly, Father, that you are real. You say your word will never return void, and we thank you for that. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 4. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. I titled this morning's sermon as Putting in Your All. We're going to look at this illustration of the widow's two mites on proportional giving. Giving your all, putting your all in for God. We're going to be looking at also from a commentary of the Nelson New King James Version Study Bible. And also, we're going to look into a little bit of insight from Through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee this morning on putting in your all. There are various places around the temple where people could come in and leave contributions. 13 such locations could be found. The receptacles were made, they say, in the shape of trumpets. Each represented a different kind of offering. It says there was also a treasury room near the court of the women. The poor widow contributed two mites, small copper coins, which were the smallest currency available. She put in her all. Isn't it amazing that Jesus contrasted the poor widow's giving with the rich? Her sacrifice, she gave her all. They gave out of their abundance, but she gave her all. The widow did not refuse to give even when she needed more to live on herself. Her devotion was to God. And she gave her all. In a paraphrase of the message, it says, of Luke 21, 1 through 4. Just then, he looked up and saw the rich people dropping offerings in the collection plate. Then he saw a poor widow put in two pennies. He said, the plain truth is that this widow has given by far the largest offering today. All these others made offerings that they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly. What she couldn't afford, she gave her all. Look with me at Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. While you're turning here, I want to read something to you from Through the Bible of J. Vernon McGee. It says, Jesus notes how people give, and he commends the widow. compared to the wealth of the temple. And it was a wealthy temple. The widow's gift did not amount to very much. Her two little coppers did not do much to help in the upkeep of the temple. Our Lord, however, does not measure giving that way. He measures it not by what you give, but what you keep for yourself. We are not living under the tithe system because that dictates what you must give. What you give or what you keep for yourself is grace giving. There are many people who should be giving more than one-tenth to the Lord because of the way He has blessed them. One man told me, if I gave only one-tenth of my substance to the Lord, I would feel as though I was stealing from Him. You see, God looks at the sacrifice of the giver. Generally, it is the one who cannot give much who is making the real sacrifice. You see, God looks at what we keep for ourselves, saints. Next Sunday morning, someone may observe what you give and say, "My, he gives a whole lot to the Lord's work." But what does God say? He is looking at what you're keeping for yourself. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." By contrast, the widow worshiped God of a deep humility and genuine devotion to Him. Mark notes for his Roman readers that her two mites make a quadrant. A Roman monetary unit mentioned by Mark and Matthew only, and only once. It was worth just a few cents. You see, Jesus' comparison of the percentages contributed by the rich and the poor reminds me and you that God measures not how much we give, but how much we retain. Those with greater income have a greater obligation to return a higher or larger percentage to God in His work. What is a steward? Stewardship is somebody who manages property, finances, or a household for another. The property manager, stewardship. God has put money into mine and your pockets, and we are to be good stewards of that. What is a tithe? A tithe, one-tenth of somebody's income or produce paid voluntarily or as a tax for the support of a church or its clergy. A tithe, obligation of supporting a church financially. The obligation to pay a tithe to a church or its clergy. A tithe, one-tenth or a small part of anything. So we look at the stewardship as one who manages something. A tithe is one-tenth. But giving, devote something. To devote something such as time or effort or sacrifice something for somebody. He gave His whole life to helping children in need. This morning, from the text of Luke 21, 1 through 4, the widow's two mites, I want to look at two things. Number one, if you open up your bulletin, in the title, Putting in Your All, I want to look at the principle in giving. The principles in giving. To give God what is rightfully His, and to learn to fear the Lord, God always, and to rest in Him, and to have confidence in His providential promises to His children. This principle is a law of God. It does not mean, though, that if we give $100, we're going to get back $1,000. When we give generously to God, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He will give back to us. He will bless us. But He will bless us in the way that He desires to give to us what we need on His infinite knowledge, not ours. Let's look at this principle in giving. I want to start in the Old Testament and build this principle. Genesis chapter 14, verse 20. Genesis chapter 14, verse 20. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and He gave him a tithe of all. When we bless God, we acknowledge Him as a source of all of our blessings and protection. Abram gave a tithe to Melchizedek. He declared that the victory that he gave came from God. God delivered Abram from his enemies. Here is the first mention of tithe in the Bible. Abram's gift indicates that he considered Melchizedek a true priest of the living God. In giving this gift, Abram was giving unto the Lord God Almighty. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, verse 20 through 22. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all of that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. A vow. Although Jacob made a conditional promise to be faithful to God, he based it on the promises of God to him. Jacob promised to give a tenth of his possessions to God. And later on, the Mosaic law required giving a tenth to God. Let's go over to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 through 34. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 through 34. In all of the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wants at all to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add one-fifth to it. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not inquire whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it. And if he exchanges it at all, then both it and the one exchanged for it shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. There's three tithes in the Old Testament I want to look at this morning. The Levitical tithe, you can go back and I'm going to give you some text you can look up later on. We won't go to them. The Levitical tithe was to support the priest and the Levites who served the people for God. It was a yearly tithe. You can look it up in Leviticus chapter 27. We read that. Numbers chapter 18. You can look at that. That the offerings, the Levitical tithe. Then you had the agricultural tithe, which was also annually or yearly. Deuteronomy chapter 14, you can look that up. Go down to verses 22 and go and through 27 and look at that agricultural tithe. And then you also have a welfare tithe that came every third year. The welfare tithe can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 14 also, and Deuteronomy chapter 26. If you go through and study them tithes that God placed on the children of Israel, it would amount to around 23%. 23%. You see in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, it says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." John MacArthur says, "A biblical view of possessions demands using them for honoring God. This is accomplished by trusting God, giving the first and best to God, being fair, giving generously, and expressing gratitude for all He gives us. The result of such faithfulness in this giving to honor Him is prosperity and satisfaction." I wrote down, if me and you will count our blessings from God one by one, it will overwhelm us. You see, there is principles in giving. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. Remember, we're looking at the principles of giving. Go down to Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, 'In what way have we robbed you?' In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." The tithes were the gifts to the Lord that the law required. There were three that we looked at. Two that were annual, and one that came every 3 years. The tithe supported the priests and Levites, and also the widows, the orphans, and the foreigners. A key verse from the law of Moses reads that the curse will come because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. One of the ways in which all the nations would be drawn to worship of the Lord was by seeing how the people of Israel fared with the Lord as their God. You see, faithfulness to God would lead to fruitfulness in the land. Now, let's look at the New Testament on the principles of giving. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise in coming, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. You see, mint and anise were spices. Cumin was a tiny fruit. The scribes and Pharisees were meticulous about tithing tiny seeds, but they failed to be obedient in the more significant matters, such as ensuring that all their actions were governed by justice and mercy and faith. Jesus was not saying that tithing is unimportant. He was pointing out that the scribes and Pharisees were emphasizing one area at the expense of another. Me and you can become so preoccupied with external rules and regulations in the church that we very often tend to forget the principles that are behind them. Very important to look at. That's why we're looking at the principles of giving. The principles of giving. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Let's go over to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Lying to the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession. And he went back, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie unto the Holy Spirit, and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these sayings. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Verse 7. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And a young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. You see, Ananias and Sapphira wanted to have a reputation like that of Barnabas, but they did not have the same character he had. At a time when others were seeking to serve the Lord and their fellow believer with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength to serve the Lord, Ananias and Sapphira were seeking to build a reputation to serve themselves, to make themselves look good. The text says in verse number 4, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? It says, you have not lied to men, but to God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune Godhead. To lie to Him is to lie to God. You see, Ananias and Sapphira could have kept back part of their proceeds. They could have kept it all. Their stewardship was between them and the Lord. But the problem was that they wanted others to believe that they was putting in their all. When in fact, they were only given a portion to the Lord. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Galatians 6, verse 6 through 10. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. You see, saints, we must be good stewards with what God has blessed us with. We need to help our brothers and sisters in Christ in other ministries as well. And yes, we need to help the poor and less fortunate. But as saints, we must keep our spiritual eyes open and pray for discernment as we give. Our giving must be pure and honest and for the glory of the Lord. We need to remember as we give, God knows and tests the hearts and intentions of our giving. Very important, remember the principle of giving is God sees all. Jesus was sitting in the temple watching people give. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He sees all. When me and you give, we need to give as unto the Lord, to fear and honor Him, reverence Him for what He has blessed us with, and give with a pure and honest heart. Number two, we need to give with a humble heart. We need to give with a humble heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 15. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 15. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. The law of the harvest is referred to many times in Scripture. Paul applied it to giving. Giving is like sowing a seed. The amount of the harvest is determined by the amount of the seed sown. But God will supply that growth according to His perfect will. Knowing the law of the harvest, each one of us, each believer in Jesus Christ, should give as he purposes in his heart. The believer is to give freely and cheerfully, not out of compulsion and with regret. When we give to God, God is able to give us more so that we can perform other good works. God sees that when we are generous givers, He will meet all of our needs. Maybe not all of our wants, but all of our needs. God generously provides for those who give so that they can continue to give. That's why we must give with a humble heart. I'm going to read to you an article, an in-depth article this morning on New Testament giving. The most detailed passage on giving in the New Testament is found in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. You need to go home and read them sometime. The primary reason that Paul addressed this topic here was that the false teachers in Corinth were questioning Paul's motives for ministry. Evidently, they were suggesting that Paul was pocketing contributions earmarked for the poor believers in Jerusalem. Consequently, the Corinthians, despite their announced willingness to help, had not donated to the cause, to the people in Jerusalem. Taking pen in hand, Paul defended his integrity, using the churches in Macedonia as his example. Paul gave the Corinthians a wonderful summary of why and how believers ought to give. Here are some of the highlights of Paul's sermon. First, who should give? All believers can and should contribute to the cause of Christ. The church at Macedonia was notoriously poor, yet they asked for the privilege of being allowed to give out of their deep poverty. In what spirit should we give? We ought to give willingly and cheerfully, not grudgingly or of necessity. It is a privilege to share in the work of God. Moreover, it is the appropriate response to God's indescribable gift to me and you, His own Son, Jesus Christ. How much should we give? Nowhere does the New Testament give a specific percentage or amount. In this passage, Paul simply exhorts each of the members of the Corinthian church to give as he purposes in his heart. Ideally, our gifts would be generous and given with liberality. The overall tenor of this passage suggests sacrificial giving. Again, by way example of the Macedonians. Like the poor widow praised by Christ in Luke 21, verses 1 through 4, our opening text. She gave not merely the leftovers, she put in her all. How should monetary gifts be handled? Paul took special care to explain that the Corinthians' contributions would be handled with integrity by Titus and another unnamed brother. These were men of highest character and integrity. They were trustworthy and above reproach in the way they handle money. We should entrust our church finances to men and men only of this caliber, who have integrity and who can be trusted. Why is giving so important? Giving very often tests the sincerity of our love for God and others. To paraphrase the words of Christ, how we handle material wealth can and very often is a barometer of our spiritual health. We're going to see that as we close in the conclusion this morning. What will be the results of our giving? We should not give primarily to get back. But Paul makes it clear that giving does lead to abundance. Cheerful givers experience God's love in a very special way. They enjoy the spiritual blessings of participating in giving and also in a rich harvest of righteousness, as we read. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17 says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given." Proverbs 28, verse 27 says, "He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses." Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6. I'll start in verse 1 and work down through verse 4. On give with a humble heart. The Lord says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." The only reward the hypocrites will ever receive is glory from men. Contrast that reward that those who give with a humble heart and for the glory of God will receive rewards from their Father in heaven. As we conclude this morning, stay with me in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start now in verse 9 through 13. We must remember that mine and your giving needs to be done with the understanding of the principle of giving and with a humble heart. It should be for the glory of God. We need to rely on God to meet all of our needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. We must remember to lack nothing means according to what God says your needs are. Not according to what we might think our needs are. When He says, "I will meet your needs with His wisdom and knowledge, He will meet our needs." We tend to ask God to meet our needs on our wisdom and knowledge, which could lead to selfishness needs. When we do that, then our needs become our wants and desires, and really not our needs. Let's look at the model prayer that Jesus gave to the disciples. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Verse number 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's what me and you need to continually ask from God. Give us this day our daily bread, not our weekly bread, not our monthly bread, not our yearly bread. What? Give us this day our daily bread. Are you putting in your all for Jesus Christ? Where is your treasure
lie.
Matthew chapter 6 again, verse 19 through 21. I could have put this in the principle of giving. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's a great principle in giving. Where is your treasure? Where is your principles on giving? Is it like the poor widow that gave her all? Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the world. You cannot do it. You cannot serve God and money. You've got to serve God. And that's why it says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is to keep giving your all in perspective. In the book of James, James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. This is another, could be put in the principles of giving. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. 1 John 3:17, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So as we can see, putting in your all, it covers the principle in giving. Jesus looks at us as we give at a proportional giving. If you are blessed, we are to give more. As one guy said, I thank God for blessing. The more He shovels in, the more I want to shovel back out. That's a great principle in giving. That's what the widow did. She didn't have much, but she gave her all. If God blesses more, she can give her all. Are we giving only out of the abundance and not a sacrifice? Something to think about. Are we giving with a humble heart? Are you a cheerful giver? Am I a cheerful giver? Putting in our all must be done out of a humble and pure heart. Remember, God looks at mine and your heart as we give. As we give our time, as we give our talents, and as we give our treasure. Let's pray. Father, once again, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for putting exactly what we need to look at into your word to know how to give. You've given us the principles, Father. We thank you for that. You have illustrated them through the Old Testament, the principles in the New Testament, the principles of giving. Why we should give. It's not ours anyway. If it wasn't for you, Father, we could have nothing. We could do nothing. We couldn't even breathe. We couldn't even live. And we thank you, Father, for allowing us the strength to go out to make money, but also to give our time, to give our strength, to give our talents. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us if we are not doing this according to the principles that you've laid out in your word. I also ask, Father, if there are those that's giving with a grudging heart, that's listening, that you will bring them in the truth of your word, that we need to be cheerful givers. What an opportunity that you have given every one of us, your children of God, to give for the work of the kingdom of God. Thank you for that opportunity, just to be a part of it. What a blessing. Don't ever let us forget that, Father. Lord, I also prayed if there's those that has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You've given us your all. You gave us that indescribable gift, Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. And I pray that you will grant them, draw them unto yourself by the power of the Holy Spirit, and grant them salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, just help us to be good stewards. As you illustrated in your word, that poor widow that came and put then 2 copper coins in there. She gave her all. She honored you, Father. She knew that you would take care of her. And I pray that we will learn that from this lesson. That we need to give sacrificially, as you have given us a perfect example in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.